Yes, Father, in Jesus' name, right there brought the anointing in this place. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice in the Lord. I laugh in the Lord. I glory in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a good time in the Lord. Praise your name. Lord, let us focus on the beauty of God. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear him. Lord, thank you for what you're about to do today. I count you faithful because you are faithful and true. Take this word, God. Enlarge it in our hearts. God, have us to have confidence in you. Lord, quicken a life today that's in this place. Quicken a life that is listening right now. You love them. You love them. And in the word of your grace, God, move the mountain. In the word of your grace, Lord, enlighten eyes of understanding. In the word of your grace, Lord, God, let us rise up and walk on. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Are you really ready for the grace of God today? Oh my, I think you better be ready for the grace of God today. Because we're going to talk about a couple kings this morning. And we're going to see how different the Word of God expresses things about their life, statements about their character, about their testimony. And we'll start with the thought of these two kings. We see that one of these kings, it said, was a good man. It said about the other king, he was a bloody man. A good man and a bloody man. It said about one king that he was the wisest king. And matter of fact, the wisest man. Because I've seen a lot of kings of this day, they don't seem too wise to me. But this was the wisest man that ever walked this face of this earth. But he was the wisest man that ever lived. It said that he had a large heart. He was brilliant. And yet the other king was a simple shepherd who often made the wrong decisions. One king had peace with all of his enemies all his life. And yet the other king never had any rest and always is at war. The one king was graced to build the tabernacle of God. And yet the other king was not allowed to build that tabernacle. And spent most of the time, if you will, in a way on the run, not to be killed by his enemies. One king, his wives spoke so well of him. His children revered him. And he never really had any conflicts. And the testimony he had was pretty much impeccable. And yet the other king, oh my, his wife openly mocked him. His children, and especially one child, rebelled against him. Rebelled against him so much that he did everything he could to take the kingdom away from his dad. And that king, it said, lived a testimony in the eyes of many, a life of a hypocrite, a life of an adulterer, and a life of a murderer. We have two very different kings, don't we? And I believe it would be very obvious who man would prefer, that king with the pristine life. But yet, as always, by the grace of God, when we gather in this place, I don't want to know man's choice. I want to know God's choice. I don't want to know man's opinion. I want God's word and his authority. And as we go into this, I want to know whose heart did God love and God adore. And as most of you already know here today, the king whom God loved and adored was the king who the people rose up against. He was the king that his enemies were always at war with him. He was the king that failed miserably time and time again. He was the king, if you will, that cheated on his wife. He was the king, if you will, that took another man's wife. He was the king that impregnated that other man's wife. And then he was the king that went out and he killed the husband of the wife that he took and impregnated. You're really quiet. So let's hear what God had to say about that king. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we'll begin reading from verse 4. And this does give us a part of scripture regarding both of these kings, the impeccable one and the bloody one. And here's what God said. In 1 Kings 11, verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that was the impeccable king. When he was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of the bloody king, of the failure king, of the adulterer king, of the murderer king, his father. For Solomon went after the other gods and goddesses. And Solomon, in verse 6, did evil in the sight of the Lord because of that. Because he went not fully after the Lord, as did the bloody king, his father. Jump on over to verse 34 of that same chapter. Think of what God said here about this bloody king David. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand. This is speaking of Jeroboam, his lineage. But I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose. Why? Because he kept my commandments and my statutes. Go on over to chapter 14, verse 8. It even gets better. It says there in verse 8, about halfway down of chapter 14, David, who kept my commandments and followed me with what? All his heart. That bloody king, that adulterer king, that murdering king. It said, who followed me with all his heart to do that what? Only which was right in mine eyes. What was God looking at? What was God looking at? Who is God looking at? Did you read those words? Did you hear those words? More importantly, do you want to hear those words? Oh, that was really weak. Do you want to hear those words? Amen! I want to hear those words. That should be the panning of our hearts. That should be the absolute, truly the ecstasy of my life. The mercy and the grace of God. Go on over to verse 15. I don't know if you're awake yet. We go on and on because this says this many, 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 many times. Because you know why? You don't get this. And you know why? Because this mind doesn't want to receive it. But if you want God and if you are really sincere, say, look, Lord, I want your heart. Then you better look at the man who is after the very heart of God, which was the bloody king. 15:3. Here it goes again about another one of his lineage and all, but always referring it back to David. And he walked in all the sins of his father, not speaking of David, this was of Jeroboam, which he had done before him. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David, the bloody, murdering, adulterer king. All his ways, perfect heart. How could God say that? Grace. 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 What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to hear the word of the Lord? I do. I tell you what, he had me at it is finished. You know it. And that's the truth. Come on. Come on. But the question here is today, all of us here today, which king would you rather be? Amen. By the grace of God. Now, I'm not saying to go out and embrace failure. It doesn't say that we would sin willfully that grace may abound. But you better know it. You better know it. It's the grace and the mercy of God. And it's always the grace and mercy of God. It wasn't just at the moment of your salvation. It's the moment of every breath you take. Every moment of your life, every second of your life, is the mercy and grace of God. It's what it is. And you thank him in that. And you praise him for it. And you give him glory. Once again, if you really want your life to change, in a sense that you would like to say, Lord, I'd like to live a life that's more like you. I'd like to have a life that would have a testimony. Praise him for his grace and mercy and watch what it'll do. That same grace and mercy that you didn't deserve that saved you will be the same grace and mercy and the only thing that will change you. Amen. You're already brand new. What it does is it changes the thinking. And what I'm saying about changes the thinking, you'll realize that let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Not to go around again. And I say this kindly. I thank the Lord for any thought of God. But I don't go walking around thinking, well, what would Jesus do? That's nuts. I really will have to tell you, when you grow up in the Lord, you'll understand that that's nuts. Does he not live in you? I mean, come on, Tammy, John, you know, you don't walk around your house, whoa, I wonder what Tammy would do today. Tammy, what would Tammy do? Tammy just does, amen, because that's Tammy. That word of God, if you'll get it in you by the grace of God and let it run like a river in your life, it'll do. It'll think. It'll perform. It's amazing what it'll do. And you'll stand there and you talk about an out-of-body experience. No, it's an in-body experience. But it's amazing because I see the man I could never be. But there's the man. He's the man of God. It's every life of Christ. It's every child of God. That life is there. It's there. In its fullness, readiness, absolute assurance that it's fully equipped in every way to grow up fully. Just has to be fed. Just has to be fed. Praise the Lord. Fed the word of his grace. Not fed all this sunshine and this and that and all of the things that man wants to talk about, wind of doctrine, that'll get you excited about something. And then it'll let you down like a big thump. Truth. Truth. We need to hear truth. So brothers and sisters, see, the goodly king whose heart was turned to other gods, I don't want that. I want the bloody failure that had the heart after the very heart of God. Amen. Amen. I see that with Brother Paul. There was such a beauty in what he said. I thank God for this. Oh, wretched man that I am. There was always a beauty about the tents of Kedar. Those badger skin, worn out things. Because he's made me the curtains of Solomon for him. But the beauty is because of that need, the lowliness. The beauty is, as Jesus said, you leave this one alone. And he loved that. It's just like the sister that had come in there and wiped his feet and did all of those different things. And there those Pharisees came through there and said, oh, if you knew what kind of woman she was, you wouldn't even let her touch you. I'll tell you what, the grace of God was abundant in that room because they should have been struck dead right there. But see, the Lord was so captivated by her, he wasn't even going to let that vermin distract him for the beauty that was going on in that fellowship. And by the way, you filthy rag group, she hasn't ceased to touch my feet and anoint me with her tears since I stepped in here. Huh? Who always caught the eye of Jesus? Think about it. People that were in trouble. People that blew it. People that were right in the midst, if you will, of the sin. He loves you. He loves you. And praise him today, because you know what? I believe we got a group in here today that love the grace of God. Yeah, you do. You just praise him for that, don't you? And even as he's changed your life and delivered you from things, if you're really growing in grace, you continue to praise him even more for his magnificent grace. Because it's not only the grace that brings you out of things, it's the grace that brings you into things. It's the grace that changes you from glory to glory into his very image. It's the grace that gets you to just abide at his feet and cry in there and all those things. And Lord, I need you. I need this different in my life. But you know what? I'm not worried about what I need different in my life. I just am realizing I need you. And it's amazing how time will pass when you're at the feet of Jesus. Amen. It's amazing how things will just pass on by when you're at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about anger. I'm talking about guilt. Bitterness. There ain't no time for that when you're at the feet of Jesus. Isn't it wonderful we gathered today at the feet of Jesus? Praise God. Now, those that go around striking their chest and say, I'm glad I'm not like that wretched publican, or I'm glad I'm not like that harlot. Do you realize how poor they are and wretched? Because see, they believe that they have no need for the grace of God. They don't love the grace of God. If there's one thing that you should be after, is to grow in love for the grace of God. To grow in love with the mercy of the Lord. And realize how beautiful that mercy is, always. The mercy, once again, that saved you. The mercy that continues to save you from things. The mercy, praise God, that is giving you the grace that continues to change your life. But it's always that mercy keeping me from things. The mercy by the grace of God that stops me in my tracks. The mercy of the Lord that doesn't allow those things to come in because, you know, the Lord knows what I can bear. You ever praise him for those things? Amen? Yeah. Sometimes we just get always to that point, oh, Lord, don't test me beyond the things. Well, you told me that you wouldn't. How about praising him for the things that you don't even know, but he told you, I kept him back from you because you couldn't bear him. Do you love him? Come on. Thank him for the things he's brought because they were perfect to take you to the edge. Not to fall, but to take off. Huh? It's beautiful. I love it when I get on some of these different airports and they're like on a, I always kind of think of it's like on an aircraft carrier, but they're like on a plateau. And here we go. We're taking off. And I'll tell you what, if that thing don't rise, there isn't anything below. Take off. Take off. There's nothing like seeing the ground pulling away. Nothing like looking up and seeing you're headed in the clouds. Come on. Come on. This is what it is. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It must have been a shock to many seeing Solomon go after other gods. You know that? Do you know that shock? I do know that shock. I know that shock. I've experienced that shock. I've seen that shock over the years. Ones like Solomon that were very graced to hear the reigning the ruling and reigning glory doctrine as kings. And grace to love it and to praise him for it. And then suddenly it was like truly there was something that happened that they were bewitched. And you know what a bewitching is? It's when you go after other gods. And you know what those gods often are? Self-righteousness and condemnation. Oh, yes, they are. Gets them every time. It'll get you and me every time. You wander off on things like that, and I'll tell you, you'll be far away from the things of God. Brothers and sisters, I see it so clearly. We had better stay in worship with mercy and grace. Continuing to worship him for that. Amen. Thanking him for it always. You say, well, why? Why not? There isn't anything more beautiful when you really see how beautiful that wonderful word of his grace is for your life. You'll become a true worshiper. A true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. The truth of the mercy and grace of God. Oh yeah. You know, maybe it really was easier for David than Solomon. You know why? Think of this. He lived such a blotched life. Yeah. Maybe it's easier for the guy who fails a lot and has a lot of problems. I guess he has no other place to go. Huh? And you know what's so interesting? It's been amazing to me because, you know, a lot of those ones that have been like Solomon, they had the most messed up lives. Throwing rocks when they're hitting themselves in the head. It's true. But then remember this, those that think, well, I didn't live like that. Who is the one that stepped forward and said, I'm the chief of sinner? It was the one that came forward and said, hey, look. Look, you all. If we're going to go out here and compare who led the most pure life, you can't even touch me. But because I was confident in that life, I was the chief of sinner. I was the worst of the worst. I was the most despicable because of the dirtiest thing to God is self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness. Oh, come on now. Come on now. See, David, he had an edge. Oh, I'm so full of failure. I'm so full of problems. I don't have any other place to go. He couldn't look to himself for help. How could I help myself? Every time I try to help myself, it seems like I do something more wrong. Every time I try to help what I did wrong with Bathsheba, it gets worse as I went and murdered Uriah. Huh? I think he really had it made because he kind of came to God and he said, you know what, there's no way I could go on. I'm so dirty and wretched. It's got to be your grace and mercy. I'm here today with a bunch of folks that know you can't go on because you can't go on. And you do go on because of his grace and mercy. And if you're going on in your head and you don't realize it's the need for grace and mercy that causes you to go on, you're not going on. You're just going through self-righteous motions. Don't do that. See, it could break right now in the pew. Lord, break up that fallow ground. Break up that hardened heart that I'm being critical, that I'm always talking about somebody else. Appreciate my brother, my firefighter back there. I was telling him, I said, I had a beautiful vision of you, Brother Doug. You're a firefighter. I think as Christians, we got one of two choices. Are you a firefighter or a fire starter? I don't even want to be a fire stoker. Well, I didn't start it, but I'll throw some gas on it. Watch this. Put it out. Put it out. There's a oneness going on in this place. There really is. There's a unity. A bond of perfectness. Appreciate you, sister. We're honing in for those that want to hone in. We have one speak. It's the bridal message. There's one thing we're pursuing. It's to win him. It's just grace and mercy, isn't it? Praise God. All this other stuff that we thought was so important is beginning to just completely fall away. And then finally you just realize, praise God, just like David, you're going to have a heart that results that's perfect before God. Perfect before God. Think of this. Because I still know, I still have a sense that there's a few wrestling with this. How could David's heart really be perfect before God? Well, God said it. God said it. Many, many times. In all his ways. And I know you're still wrestling with that. Don't wrestle with it. And here's the proof. David may have not always made the right steps in the eyes of man. Very true. Absolutely true. But yet going back to what God's opinion is, that he was perfect in all his ways. His heart was always perfect before me. Before mine eyes, because he was just captivated with David. David couldn't have ordered that life, could he? David couldn't say, hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and do this, this. No. Because David would have messed that life up. But we know for God to be able to say that about any life, it had to be the before ordained good works that were walked in by David. Amen? Are you getting this? See, your life is just like David's life. With all of those blotches and failures and problems. Do you know and maybe understand now why you don't live a lotus land of ease? Oh, it even gets better. Do you see why the Lord has let the wheels come off your life time and time again? I look out here, I don't see no steady Eddies here. Even the one Eddie I know, I don't know if he's here today, but I know he knows what I'm talking about. Come on. Now think of this. He wants you to stop loving yourself and to begin to really love his grace. If your life is like a whirlwind, if your life seems somewhat like a war that doesn't ever seem to settle down, I would tell you this, praise him because he loves you. Amen. Don't you want to soar? You ever hear about the eagle, that mama eagle and her babies? Oh, she loves them. You go out and try to touch them babies in the nest. Let me tell you something, you have some digits missing. Chomp. You'd be scratched up. You wouldn't have no eyes, nothing. She loves them. But you know how much she loves them? She wants them to fly. And you know how she gets them to fly? As they begin to grow, she starts taking out the fluff in that nest. And so there's sticks and thorns. So when those babies try to sit down, oh, can't sit down in here no more. Oh, honey, you can fly. You can soar. I'm going to take you out of here. You think sometimes that even I meant it for your evil, but I meant it for your good. I meant it for your eternal good. I meant it for your eternal good. Do you get your life for him? You are so valuable and priceless to God. There isn't all of the wealth of this world could even compare to how valuable your life is to God. He gave you Jesus. He took his son and he put him on that cross. And they abused him. They tore his flesh more than any man. They drove the nails. And if there would be anyone here, historically, you can't even deny it. Because he took it. And it's written. Amen. And it wasn't hidden. And they put the nails in his hands. And they put the nails in his feet. And they pierced his beautiful side. And he was made sin for us. And he knew no sin. I'll tell you what now, I get it. I get my life. I get that my Lord is so beautiful, he doesn't want my hands to fold just a wee bit. He doesn't want even one of my eyes to slumber. He stirs up that nest. And every time I start to, okay, I got a little reprieve here. I'm just going to, whoa, what was that? I better start flying. Huh? Amen? Come on, I get it. And truly, as Sweet Tammy brought out, remember when they brought all of those sacrifices every year, the slaughter of the lambs, they'd bring them in, thousands of them. And there would be the priests, and they would have the bowls. And they would take the blood of those precious animals that represented the blood of Jesus. And they would pour it into those bowls. And those bowls, they were made such that they couldn't set them down. At the bottom of the bowl, it wasn't round. It was a point. If they set it down, it would spill out. They had to keep holding it. And I think I understand that because of the grace of God that's now with me as was with David. I'm taking of the cup of salvation. Hallelujah. And I can't put it down. Amen. And by the grace of God, it doesn't matter the pain. It doesn't matter the stench. It doesn't matter the weight, because it's becoming, if by any means I might attain to that. I want that perfect heart always in the eyes of God. And I know how it comes. By loving his word, adoring his word, and truly being in love with the word of his grace. Thank him today. Thank him today. You love his grace. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Oh, Father. Father, Father, Father. Thank you for your wonderful Son, Jesus. We thank you again for this great love wherewith we are loved. Thank you, Lord, that it's just so simple to see the beauty of the grace of God. Lord, help us to just love it today and love it more today. Help us to take it in and to truly rise up above all these things, Lord God. We're raised and seated with you. Thank you for that beautiful blood that was shed. Thank you for the blood that we look on and the mercy that we praise you for till we see you. In your precious name, Jesus, amen.